Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esquire Coaching Radio, where we help attorneys achieve unparalleled personal and professional success. And now here's your host, Ann Jenrette Thomas.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the Esquire Coaching Radio Show. It's such a pleasure to be here with all of you today. As you know, Esquire Coaching is a national coaching and consulting firm that's dedicated to empowering lawyers to happily succeed in the business of law. To that end, we discuss the full range of topics, from building business to getting a job to work-life balance and absolutely everything in between. Today, we have a very special guest who's returning to the Esquire Coaching Radio Show, Cindy Krieger, and she's going to talk to us about how to make kindness and compassion an integral part of your work and personal life. Cindy has made her career in communications, including journalism and public relations, but throughout her life, she has also carried out a personal mission to spread kindness and compassion to all she encounters in both her work life and her personal life. And I can attest to the fact that she is a living testament to this personal mission. This calling began in Cindy's life when she was a young child and has remained with her throughout her life. She has just recently named it and begun talking about it in an effort to help more people feel good about themselves and worthy to be alive. Cindy Krieger is a public relations and media training expert who lives in New York City with her spouse, Rainey Cole, also another fabulous human being. She enjoys spending a good portion of her personal time studying the spiritual teachings and life lessons of such experts as Dr. Wayne Dyer, Dr. Christiane Northrup, Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle, and of course, Oprah Winfrey. Her personal mission is spreading kindness and compassion in the world. Welcome back, Cindy.
Anne, it's so great to be back. I really appreciate you having me back on the show.
Oh,
I'm thrilled.
It was so much fun last time, and what I really like is I think this is a testament to the multidimensional aspect of all of us. You know, last time you came on the show, you talked more tactics, you know, business and in terms of public relations and media appearances, and now we get to honor the holistic part. So I'm really excited for this.
Me too. Thank you for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So, Cindy, tell us a little bit about your formal career path, but then explain the spiritual part of your life.
Okay, I'm thrilled to do that. I spent the first part of my career, and kind of talked a little bit about this with you on the last time I was on the podcast, but I spent the first part of my career as a local news reporter, anchor, and news director in Alaska, of all places. It was quite an experience, I have to say, molding me in my 20s. Cold weather and wonderful people. And but anyway, so I started my career up there as a news reporter in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I eventually left Alaska to sharpen my journalistic skills at Columbia Journalism School in New York City. And then I worked on documentaries for the next several years. And then I went on to work in public relations with an LGBT advocacy focus and media training at GLAAD, and that's the national organization that ensures fair media representations of LGBT people. And now I have my own public relations firm, as you mentioned, with my wife, Rainey Cole. But getting into the spiritual part of my life, I think that I've always had a spiritual side. I just didn't know what it was until I got older and really began to explore spiritual teachings of people like Dr. Wayne Dyer. When I was younger, I think I'm realizing that I got the fulfillment by reading inspirational verses. My friend, one of my best friends from childhood, Karen Bunce, who's now Karen Chef, and we're still friends today, she had a poster up on her wall with a ballerina, and it said, "If you can imagine it, you can achieve it. If you can dream it, you can become it." And I know that really stuck with me, and things like that. Or there was a verse on success that I always loved and I still use today, which ended with, "To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded." So really those kinds of quotes have always given me a boost and made me feel good. They made me feel good as a child, in adolescence, and now as an adult. And so truly, Anne, I'm a spiritual novice. I'm not Wayne, a Wayne Dyer or an Oprah Winfrey. I just love them, you know, and they help me a lot, people like that. So I'm a spiritual novice, but I'm beginning to realize that there has always been a bit of a spirituality operating in the background of my life, and it's pretty woven into all my daily interactions. It's sort of hard to describe, but I just like to carry an energy of love and compassion into all of my personal and professional interactions, and in many cases, people, they do notice. Now, they may not come up to me and say, gee, you seem really spiritual, but they might smile, or their eyes might light up if I just show that I really do care how their day is going, or if I look them in the eye, smile, and show an interest. So that sort of situation has played itself out probably thousands of times in my working life and in my personal life. And I was looking up a quote that I can't remember it, but it was a famous quote, and I don't remember who said it, but it says, people may not remember exactly what you did or what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel. So that's kind of how I started to get into thinking about, gosh, there's always been this thing in the background, and what is that exactly? And it's been a good thing in my working life where people have sort of taken to me, whether it is I'm doing a media training or being a journalist out there in the world, this little thing on the side, and I'm like, oh, I need to really start to explore what exactly is that. Maybe I can help other people, you know, find that in themselves.
I love that. And, you know, I noticed that there seems to be more and more people on Facebook, for example, who share these inspirational quotes or make them, you know, into pretty little JPEG, you know, images and share them. And so it's interesting that you said that that was the start of it for you, because who knows, maybe this is the start of it for a number of people, you know, this the call through inspiration. Now, how did you come to realize the role spirituality could play in enhancing both your work life and your personal life?
It really hit me when my brother Greg gave me Dr. Wayne Dyer's amazing book, The Power of Intention. He gave it to me for Christmas in 2004. And there are so many nuggets of wisdom in that book that really spoke to me at a time in my life when I was making some major changes and trying to get my life on a more productive and positive path after a lot of years of beating myself up for not being perfect. And that book really gave me a sense of optimism that I hadn't had in a long time, and I started repeating a lot of the affirmations to myself constantly during the day, affirmations I got from the book. Things like, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, and I am whole and perfect as I was created. And then one of his favorite famous ones is, contemplate yourself surrounded by the conditions you want to produce. And that book also, one of the funny things he tells you when you read that book is go and read chapter 15 first. It's at the end of the book, and he has this whole section about where he calls it a portrait of a person connected to the field of intention, and it really how self-actualizing people must be with what they can be. And that's from a quote from Abraham Maslow, but he talks a lot about how there are people in the world that they don't say things like, with my luck things won't work out. Instead, you're much more likely to hear them say, I intend to create this and I know it will work out. And no matter how you might attempt to dissuade them by pointing out all the reasons their optimism, you know, should be curtailed, what Dyer says, they seem blissfully blind to that reality check. You know, it's as if they're in a different world, a world in which they can't hear the reasons why things won't work out. So when I heard those words, when I read those words, I was like, wow, I want to be that person. And that's really when it hit me that I could really take a spiritual path and, you know, continue with my career, but have that as sort of my guiding force. I can be this person that, you know, you can't tell me I'm going to fail, or I refuse to see the bad in the situation. I want to see the good. And I just needed that jolt. So I thank Wayne Dyer for that, and I know millions of people who have read the book feel the same way, and I thank my brother, Greg, for giving me that all those years ago, because at the time, what happened, Anne, is I was going for a big job at the time, and the more that I repeated those affirmations, the better I felt. I was going to the gym more. I just was taking really good care of myself, and I ended up landing a really good job. And I did make some major changes just from starting to believe that I could create those conditions and make my life the way that it should be. So it's obviously things that, you know, I have to constantly work on. We all do, but it's good to get a jolt of energy like that.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. And I think this, what you just shared, is particularly relevant for a lot of our audience. A lot of our audience, as you know, are lawyers. And one of the things that you mentioned is this the self-flagellation because you weren't perfect and
right.
how damaging that could be. So it really sounds like your journey started from within. It started from uplifting yourself, recognizing what was possible for you, and then from there it trickled into your work, into your other interactions personally. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment, and it really sparked my memory on another thing that kind of was in that book, and he was talking about, I'm not my job, I'm not my relationships, you know, I am whole and perfect just as I am. And so you start to really go within of who you are. And then when you are in your job, those things start to feel better. I mean, you start to operate from a much more positive place and stop beating yourself up over all the little mistakes that we all make. But because you love, you know, the inner person. No matter what's in your bank account, no matter what promotion you get or what not. Anyway, go ahead.
No, this is great. Sorry, I'm just excited. I think this topic is so relevant because, you know, I think you might have known that last year our company had published this book called The Happy Law Practice, and part of the reason for it is because the depression rates, the unhappiness, the substance abuse, the suicide, you know, rates among lawyers is super high. And I know from personal experience that I too struggled. You know, I struggled for a long time with negative thinking, depression, etc. And it was all of these little pieces of spiritual nuggets, you know, practice consistently though. That's the key. Practice consistently. So I don't know about you, but I know for me, over a period of time, I went from the majority of my thinking being more negative or doubtful or skeptical to the majority of my thinking being more, you know, positive and affirming, and my life has gotten infinitely better, more productive, happier, and profitable as a result.
Indeed, yes, as you've coached many and, you know, just feeling better about yourself, bringing your energy level up to a higher, you know, frequency, if we could just turn that dial, almost like a radio dial, onto a higher level. And it's you know, we have similar professions in the pressure department, the legal field and the communications field can, you know, constant deadlines, you know, constant cases, for journalists or PR people, it's a story. You got to get that story placed. And for an attorney, you got to win your case. You've got to billable hours. And it's just this constant. And if you just lived in that, and you can get so mired down in the day-to-day, whereas if you bring that element into your life that is the spiritual or the part of your life where you have your health and well-being, and you can weave that into the day-to-day through many, many steps, and, you know, it takes a lot of dedication and, you know, consistency, as you know, and it just needs constant attention like a garden, but I can totally relate.
It does. Yeah. And, you know, I love what you're saying, too, because the reality is that even if you don't have to be perfect, you know, you don't have to say affirmations all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, you could just start where you are, and it makes a difference. It just shifts little by little by little, and then boom, you know, you one day wake up and look around and you realize you are a different person. So you've talked about some of your favorite spiritual teachers. You've mentioned Wayne Dyer, you've mentioned Oprah, but who are some of the other spiritual teachers, famous or not famous?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I will bring up Oprah just once again just to say that she's probably my number one spiritual teacher. She's been that since she hit the airwaves in the 1980s. And because my background is being on TV, too, I think I really relate to that. Now with her Super Soul Sunday show, she gives us a big dose of positivity every Sunday with so many of the best spiritual thinkers of our time. When we talk a little bit about some of the non-famous spiritual teachers that have been in my life, they've been people like a mentor that I had at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Dr. Claudia Clark. And Claudia simply believed in me at a time when I really needed guidance. I was a young college student, and she helped me launch my journalism career by caring about my future and persuading me to care about it too. Because at the time, I was like, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and I had no direction. And of course, my spouse, Rainey Cole, we are very spiritually connected. We meditate together. We try to read a lot of different spiritual books and help each other. So she's an incredibly important spiritual person in my life. And then a couple of other tidbits to share. My father taught me something very spiritual when I was young. He told me to never hold a grudge. And that has always stayed with me. And, you know, Anne, you can actually find, I'm sure you found this, but you can find spiritual teachers in most everyone you meet if you really listen to what they say and grab a nugget of wisdom that you're meant to hear at a particular moment. It could be in line at the grocery store, or you could meet someone on the street. It's really all about being open to the message.
I love this. I really do. And I think it's all, you know, I know the title of today's talk is about kindness and compassion, but I think it's an offshoot from all the spiritual elements that you're talking about today. So, which brings me to this next question. What are some of the most important spiritual lessons you've learned in your life?
Well, I lost a partner to suicide when I was 25 years old, and I believe that loss helped me to become a more compassionate person. I went through so much pain from the loss that it made me more empathetic towards anyone going through any kind of loss. And during that time, you know, there's a quote that gave me great solitude when I was going through the grief. It's from the famous book, The Prophet, by Khalil Gibran, and in his verse about joy and sorrow, he wrote, "The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain." And at the time I read that, I'm like, oh, wow, so I'm really hollowed out here from this sadness and pain. But wait, this is increasing the space I have for joy. It's expanding my capacity for joy. And I was like, wow, that really turned things around for me. That quote has always been with me when I'm going through rough times. I'm like, oh, well, I'm just carving out more in myself so I can, like, fill myself up with a lot more joy. And it helps.
I love that.
It helps. Another spiritual lesson I learned was about confidence. I was sent to cover politics at the Alaska Legislature when I was 26 years old, and I didn't think I was smart enough to cover politics. So I had a major anxiety attack, and I would have these private meltdowns over it as I was getting close to going and covering the legislature in Alaska. But in the end, I covered it the way I understood it. Like, I figured it out. I got there, and I ended up having viewers tell me later that my news reports on politics in Alaska helped them enjoy and understand politics for the first time in their lives. And
oh,
I just
wow.
broke down the... Yeah, you know what was great? I broke down the information in a way that really resonated for them. And I'm thinking, so who knew politics could be spiritual? But for me, that feedback from a viewer was a profoundly spiritual moment because I overcame my fear about covering politics, and I had success. So that one was very surprising. And, you know, in general, I would just say there are too many spiritual lessons to count. I think if we look closely, all of us, there are spiritual lessons in every moment. You know, when we wake up and to live another day, and that's something to be really grateful for. I'm here, I'm alive, I'm healthy. And when I remember, I thank my higher power every morning if I remember to do it. And I say, thank you for giving me another chance to try and get it right. Every day is a lesson. So I don't always get it right.
None of us do.
No.
That's okay, right? That's the whole point of this. Speaking
indeed.
Of being compassionate.
Right.
So how can being kind and compassionate help at work?
Simply, when you go about life with a smile and some optimism, it can make things a lot easier. So think about, you know, all of your day-to-day interactions at home, at work, out in the world. When you're nice to people and show them you care about them just, you know, because they're alive, you'll have a much more pleasant work life and personal life. Now, you know, I realize that there are times that you really need to stand up for yourself. So I'm not suggesting that being a doormat for folks to walk on. Mm-hmm. I just believe in going through life with a calm, firm confidence and a respect for your fellow humans at work, at home, and in life. If you want to talk a little bit specifically about work, I really believe, Anne, that you can close a lot more deals by being kind and compassionate. And I believe you can lead happier teams at work if you operate with a spirit of collegiality instead of a spirit of divisiveness. And I've always tried to operate that way, and to me, it just has never steered me wrong. And I do want to address that I'm not so naive as to think it's always going to be appreciated in certain cutthroat environments. We talked about the pressure of the legal field. We talked about the pressure of my communications field. Our world really has a long way to go in that department. But I think the spirituality movement, we talked about Super Soul Sunday, I mean, it's growing. And we're going to see more and more human resources departments try to foster an environment of teamwork rather than a climate where workers are pitted against one another. I really think you're seeing that. I'm starting to see shows or news reports about schools that are integrating meditation into their daily routines for students. And I think that over time we're going to see more of a holistic approach being brought into schools and the workplace.
And we're seeing it in the legal profession as well. A lot of the bar associations in the major metropolitan areas now have a mindfulness meditation group for lawyers within the bar association, which I think is
wonderful.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's funny because there are some attorneys who really pride themselves on being the, what do you call it, the barracuda, you know, just really cutthroat, you know, no nonsense, we'll fight for it. But I think that there's a lot more people who practice law, whether they're in transactional law or, you know, trusts and estates or anything like that, where it's easier to build your client base, to get things accomplished, to have negotiations if you come from this point of view that you're stressing. Would you say, Cindy, to the skeptics who might be listening to this and say, okay, all of this sounds very touchy-feely. How does it contribute to being successful?
Okay. Well, I'd say don't knock it until you try it, number one. And I know it can seem kind of sappy, but I'm really not suggesting that folks get all sappy and touchy-feely all the time. What I'm really suggesting is that you think about how every interaction allows you a moment to decide how you will treat another person or being. And in life, you have a choice. I believe when you choose respect and kindness, you're going to have a lot more luck in reaching people and being successful in your life. Just give it a try. Here's what I'd say to people. Just try being nice all day, one day, and see what it does for your career. See what it does for you personally. Try that as an experiment and just see how it feels. Now, again, I'm not saying to be sickly sweet and, you know, drive people crazy. Oh, my God, you know. But just try the respect thing. Try to just be aware of how you're interacting at every moment. Give it a whirl and just see how that works. We all have our moments. I'm not saying that I don't go through moments where people may say something that I want to react. And, I mean, I don't always live up to this, but I certainly strive to try. That's all I can do, really.
I think it's good. You know, give it a try. And the way that I've always looked at it, too, is if it doesn't hurt you, you know, if it's not going to kill you, just go ahead and try it.
Try it in your next business negotiation. Instead of like going in there thinking, I'm going to play hardball, I'm going to knock these people, and I'm going to get what I want. Instead, you know, sort of go into it with the spirit of collegiality about finding a solution and building
relationships. But you also said something really critical earlier, which is to, you know, to not be a doormat, to still have an idea of, you know, what you need, what your boundaries are, essentially.
Yes.
And still be. I think that's a fine line for people. I think people have a hard time trying to figure out how can I be kind and compassionate without being a doormat.
Right.
So especially see this among women lawyers in particular.
I was just about to say that too. I know we as women are, you know, kind of like keep your head down, be nice, and play by the rules. And that I know that that is also can be very controversial because, well, that doesn't always work. We don't always get promoted when we just try to do our best. So I know that this is a conversation that needs to be expanded. I hope I can come on the show again because, yeah, how do you sort of navigate all of the different dynamics that play out with sexism and things that do pop up? Is because women are known for just being nice, and we're conditioned to always, you know, take care of everybody else. So I know that, you know, this requires a little bit further discussion, but I do think you can still bring these spiritual practices and be a strong woman at the same time into your workplace.
I love it, and I think it's going to be interesting. You know, I know I personally have just had to deal with a challenge on this front, and so I think this is a really interesting topic, and I would love to have you back on to talk about it.
Well, thank you.
I can't believe we're almost out of time. So what are three things that our listeners can do to integrate kindness and compassion into their daily lives, both personally and professionally?
One, I would say when interacting with anyone, smile, look them in the eye, and genuinely listen to what they have to share. Two, I was going to talk about a little bit earlier about with personal relationships, you know, leave a spouse, family member, or coworker a short note to give them kudos on something and tell them to have a great day. Three, I would say, you know, this one's more from Wayne Dyer. I'll borrow from him. If you have the choice of being right or being kind, choose being kind. So those are three that I would love. Yeah.
Those are excellent. They're easy to apply, you know, and they really hit the mark. Now,
thank you.
What would you say, Cindy, is the biggest takeaway for my listeners today about how to make kindness and compassion an integral part of their work and lives and their personal lives?
It's really, really, really simple. It's four words. Listen more, talk less. That's it, in a nutshell.
I love it. That's Cindy Krieger for you. Listen more, talk less. Perfect. Tell our listeners how they can reach you, Cindy.
They can go to our website, which is kriegercole.com. That's kriegercole.com, or I can be emailed at Cindy, Cindy, at kriegercole.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. You are just phenomenal, and this is definitely a new pathway for you, my dear.
Well, thank you for saying that, and the feeling is mutual. I really appreciate this time today to talk to your audience. And you, of course. Fabulous.
Thank you. Listeners, let's keep this conversation going. This one's a doozy. This one's an important topic because it's not just compassion and kindness to others. It starts from within and your own spirituality. So join us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. You can find all of our social media sites on our website, www.esquirecoaching.com. On our next episode, we'll be speaking with Dr. Carrie Jackson from the Center of Spiritual Light. We're keeping the spirituality topic going. If you have any questions for us, feel free to email us at info@esquirecoaching.com. Until then, be well, everyone.